Good afternoon, everyone.
I think good afternoon.
It is 2 o'clock, so I'd just like to draw attention that this meeting is being held at the traditional territory of the Coast Salish people, in particular our friends to the west, the First Nations of Qualicum. So with that, I'm looking to adopt the agenda. Are there any changes requested to the agenda?
Yes, I wanted to ask that we can have a discussion about what happened at the council meeting and to do with the cell tower, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to be able to have the freedom to discuss that a little bit.
Okay. Well, you were there, so you should know.
Yes, and you too.
Anyway, anything else? Then the agenda is adopted. As amended?
Yes. And I also have business arising from the minutes, Chair Tunis.
Yeah. Okay. When we do the minutes, we deal with that.
All right.
So the agenda is adopted as amended by consent. The minutes. Any changes or comments about the minutes?
Yes. There was a concern from the Qualicum Woods. The committee is asked why a speed feedback sign is not being used.
Sorry, what is that? Say that again, please.
Yes, this is issues arising out of the minutes.
Yeah.
The committee is asking, the Qualicum Woods are asking why a speed feedback sign is not being used. Staff replied that the statistics show that signage alone is not effective. A physical measure or enforcement is needed to change behavior. And then the President Todd wrote a letter to Mr. Weir. Do you want me to read that letter out now?
How long is it, Doreen?
It's not very long.
Go ahead.
Mr. Weir states that the statistics show that the speed signs don't work. He didn't present any evidence, research, or support for his statements of this at the meeting. It felt like his perception of the issue, not data. Could he please provide the research he was relying upon to support these statements? We have provided numerous academic articles and literature in our correspondence with council in support of the signs, including from the Texas Traffic Institute studies, which show they do retain their effectiveness even after time passes, and an article on brain studies that do show their effectiveness. The Qualicum Woods Residents Association wrote to council with this academic information, literature, and anecdotal support that the signs work. We also provided a direct quote from the principal of Arrowsmith Elementary School, Miss Autumn Taylor, where the sign has been installed by the town, and she stated that they are working for speed control and they no longer have complaints from parents about speeding near the school. We have supplied correspondence to support the signs, which include the BC government speed safety toolkit, which offers them as one suggestion for traffic calming. We would appreciate objective and scientific feedback from staff on the efficacy of the signs.
Okay, I'm just going to use that under business arising from the minutes. So if I could just step back a bit, and are the minutes okay by everybody? The adoption of the minutes,
can I deal with still, that? There's still one more issue.
Well, Doreen, if I might,
yes,
that's going to be under business arising from the minutes.
Okay.
I'm only asking if the minutes are correct.
Okay, thank you.
If I don't hear anything, then those minutes are adopted by consent. Thank you. Business arising. Go ahead, Doreen.
Okay. The LED light issue, the QBRA has conducted a survey of its members, and it was quite well received. I can forward electronic copy to this committee. Briefly, there is a genuine concern regarding the process by which the lights were installed and the lack of consultation. Examples of the correct way to implement such a program exist. The city of Nanaimo is a good example, as indicated in the following email to me. They use 39 watt. The code is 3876, which I'm sure is 3000 K. And the intensity is bearable and the color is inoffensive. And we would like this committee to Bob Weir think about the lighting that's used in Nanaimo.
Okay. Mr. Weir gave an extensive report this morning.
Yes.
So I could ask Mr. Weir if you would care to make any comments at this point regarding the lighting or about the speed signs, Mr. Weir.
Well, the speed signs we spoke to before, and although we've said that we're not going to make recommendations to council for additional expense until we go through our next review of the age-friendly transportation plan, the locations where they've been requested are on the list, as will, I'm sure, the other motions that you're going to bring up today. So I would like to leave that issue out. Regarding Nanaimo and their color light temperature, I could not more vehemently disagree with the information just being presented. I've just been in contact with the one of the engineers there who's in charge of that program. They are installing both 3,000 and 4,000 K temperatures in wattages of 39, 75, 114, and 162. So they are certainly not just exclusively 39-watt 3,000 K lights.
Let's say 39 watts for the residential.
39 watts in a residential area?
It would depend on the street classification, but they go all the way up to 162.
Hmm. Right, but Bob, the 39-watt, it was in your report that it could be 39-watt, and from the sake of very, very little traffic in many of the, especially the cul-de-sacs, and the saving on power, would that not be something to consider?
Well, the savings on power isn't a benefit to the community at all. That only falls to BC Hydro. And I don't want to really make too many conclusions or suggestions before council gets the full report. But I can assure you that not all residential street lighting in Nanaimo will be 39-watt. It may be selectively in certain areas of cul-de-sacs, but I mean, I was just in an email communication with the engineer involved in the project. I don't think it's worth getting into an argument in our meeting today.
No, not today, but just for consideration. So we'll look at that report after the presentation to council. Regarding the signs, and there was this particular question that Doreen had. Doreen, can you rephrase your question to Mr. Weir about the signs? Speed signs.
Yes. On the update on the speed reader deployed on Hemworth, is that any statistics gotten from that yet?
Mr. Weir?
Yes, we do have some statistics, and there were some very high speeds recorded. We have not done a full analysis of that. We've been engaged in other elements, and we've also a lot of senior staff have been encouraged to try and burn up some holiday allotments during the month of August. So we do not have all of our speed data reduced and analyzed yet. But the good news is that we now have four of those devices, so we're getting good solid data all around town.
Okay, and is there any results yet on 19A near Milner? What was the data showing there? Or is it back yet?
I believe that it is still out there again. If you go by the entrance to Milner Gardens, you'll see a little gray box sitting on a pole out there, or a street sign.
Okay. And it was good news that in front of the Aerosmith School, that the flashing lights were effective there. And has the data been collected and updated there?
Mr. Weir?
No.
Not yet.
I think that's what he means, not yet. Okay. Anything else, Doreen?
Let's see. Okay. Have you got any evidence, Mr. Weir, about your statements about the speed signs not working? That was unclear that the Woods wanted.
Mr. Weir?
Again, I don't want to get into a debate about whose data shows what. This would be a point I think we should put to the outside consultants during the age-friendly transportation review. What I do know, yes, there's always data that says these signs can be effective in certain locations. If you have a large number of habitual users and they become comfortable, complacent with the sign, they're not as effective. And that's why I think it should be deferred until our age-friendly transportation review.
Oh, okay. And just one last question. The 39 watts on residential roads, like on Judges Row,
We're going to leave the lights issue until we get the report.
Okay.
Okay. So then there is the any other business arising from the minutes. All right. Then we'll proceed with the recommendation from council that we have this joint emergency program services agreement, and we have our coordinator, Rob Damon, in our attendance today. So any questions after you read the report that you'd like to put to Mr. Damon? It was a pretty straightforward report, but it shows great cooperation between the local governments. Anything you want to add at this point, Rob?
It really paves the way for the future of our program and assures that we're able to continue to provide the service that we have been providing to our residents in the way that we have built. With the new bylaw, it replacing the older bylaw, the new bylaw that we've also, part of this process that we went through is reflecting some of the new legislation that is that has changed over the years and that is coming out. There is new legislation coming out next year as well. So this really keeps us current and, again, really sets the way for the future of the program to maintain this regional approach, which has been very successful for the City of Parksville and the town of Qualicum Beach.
Thank you. Any questions to Rob? Thank you for the work you're doing, Rob. And there's a lot of work behind the scenes to prevent lack of communication and awareness, and you're doing a great job helping us to be educated on the dangers and how we could prevent them. Thank you.
Thank you.
And then from the regular council meeting on July regarding the intersection on Memorial and First, which is the Petrocan. And I mentioned this morning that according to the plan at this point, we would wait for the railway having the lights up, whatever they can do to make it safer to cross railways. And they have to be integrated with whatever we do as far as traffic lights on our part of town, our part of responsibility. And so we're going to have another review of the age-friendly transportation plan to look at this and see if there's another way for us to proceed. Mr. Weir, any comment on that?
The cost of installing crossing arms and warning lights on the railway falls entirely to the town of Qualicum Beach, and that's one of the reasons that I've been saying that we should not proceed with the installation of lights at that intersection, because we are responsible for that entire cost. That, like, I think it's been, well, when was the last time we saw a train on that on track? In 10 years? I don't know. But the cost then was like, you know, in excess of $275,000 just for the railway portion of crossing arms and lights, which we didn't think was reasonable to a railway that's not operating. So, I mean, if we could get the railway to agree to allow us to signalize the intersection prior to it becoming operational again, but they consider the entire line to be operational, and that is where our problems lie. So,
I will make those comments when we get to it as a council, but we're spending a lot of money on the roundabout at down the road, and that's necessary to build a roundabout there, although I'm not sure how it all kind of work yet. But the concerns people have about this intersection actually are similar, if not greater, than the concerns we've had on Memorial and on Highway. So to absorb a cost of $275 with the cost of putting in a traffic signal at this point may be a good idea to consider anyway, especially if we're going to see more development on what we call on the end of Second Avenue with the brew pub coming into play and all that. We may need to do this sooner than waiting for the Allen corridor to make up their mind, which seems to be a long project. Anyway, this is going to be brought up when we do the age-friendly transportation master plan, because I agree with many comments that it's a very dangerous intersection. Thank you. Doreen. Doreen, you have to unmute yourself. Your sound system is not working.
Yeah. Good evening. It's working now, I think.
Go ahead, Leonard. I don't hear any sounds from anybody, but if
okay,
there you
good.
Go.
I think we were all muted. I just was wanting to know when the age-friendly transportation would be ready, the report.
Bob?
Well, our plan is to do it this fall. So when it's ready, I really don't know. We would certainly proceed we're proceeding with the data collection now in the various locations we've identified. We'll proceed with some more as they get directed to us by council. I think we'd work through the fall and try and get it to council, you know, sometime around Christmas or early in the new year.
Okay.
Now, yeah, I got my hand up there. I just wanted to make the one comment about that intersection. There's absolutely no doubt that that is one of the lowest level of service intersections we have in town. That's principally for movements off of First Avenue onto Memorial, but the problem is that the intersection design will be, I think it would end up being such that the public will think it unreasonable the way we have to configure it because of the railway crossing arms and stop lines. Stop lines would be very much on, you know, or they'd be over by like Veterans Way, and, you know, and have crossing arms involved into it. So it will not seem as a reasonable design to the intersection. So I think it's another one of the reasons why we've been hoping and holding off, you know, wishing desperately that the province will solve the issue of the railway.
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. And we've been hoping that for a long time, but doesn't seem to be happening. So you're right. It's going to be a complicated intersection to design for safety purposes, but we're going to have to bite that bullet, I'd say probably next year. Anyway, anything else on that particular item? Then we'll move on to, there's no status around recommendations to council. Update from staff. I think we just heard that from both Rob and...
Excuse me, Tunis. I had asked to be on the agenda as item number
three. Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that, Carol. We're going to the existing agenda, and then we'll come to you.
Because I do want it recorded.
Carol, I got you. I have you. But we're going to the agenda, and after new business, you can put your name in. I have your marked up.
As part of the agenda. Okay.
As part of the agenda after new business.
Okay.
So update from staff. I think we just heard that. Round table. So I see. Okay. I lost my... I've been on the meeting so long this morning. I had over almost a 3.5 hour meeting. My battery is giving up. But anyway, I just plugged it in on the wall, so I'm going to look a little different. But we're just going to go around the table. And Doreen, I'm going to come back to you, but I'm going to ask some people who haven't spoken yet to say a few words if they like. Bill Duckerfield.
Sure.
Bill.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, well, I haven't been on this meeting for a while because somehow I got dropped off the email list. But I talked to Bernadette this week and we got it resolved. So I'm back on the list now. I represent Chartwell. And anything to do with Chartwell, I should know about.
Okay.
I'll tell you something that is going on in Chartwell in case you don't know. There's a independent person in Chartwell who's taken a petition around to the homeowners, and this is not something that the Chartwell Residents Association has sanctioned, but he is taking a petition to change the speed limits on some of the streets in Chartwell. I will tell you from my own perspective, what happens now is because people don't want to go through the school zone on Bennett, if they come down Rupert and over the tracks, often they take a right on to Mira Loma, and then they go to Chartwell and take a left, and then they go to Sunrise and take a right, or they go straight down Chartwell. That way they miss the school zone. I can tell you that there are lots of speeders. I believe last week the community had out that monitoring speed limits, and I don't know whether that data is available, but I think we have to do something about it. I'm not so sure that signs is the answer, because I don't think people pay much attention to signs, quite truthfully. But you know, I'm really impressed with what the town did on Crescent Road and Princess. Because of the construction, they put some speed bumps in there, and they seem to have worked. I'm at Memorial Golf Course a fair amount, and I see that it has slowed the traffic down on West Crescent, or East Crescent, I guess it is, the one that runs along the edge of the golf course.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether or not, I think we've talked about this once before, and I think Mr. Weir said at the time it's something that doesn't work or something that I'm not sure. I'm not sure what needs to be done, but if this petition gains momentum, and I think it probably will, it'll probably come to town council.
Well, appreciate the heads up, Bill, and then we can prepare for a response when it comes. Thank you. Okay, next I got Barry Bleary. Barry.
Hello, everyone. It's actually Blay. I was talking to Bernadette about getting that corrected. just, again, kind of on the same thing that Bill was talking about. It seems maybe because of COVID, but there's a lot more pedestrian traffic in our neighborhoods. In Eagle Crest, we don't have any sidewalks. So it seems to be a constant struggle to make sure we've got a safe balance between pedestrian, dog walkers, the occasional golf cart, et cetera, that roam around the neighborhood. We had one resident on Country Club Drive, rather, indicated that there was excessive speed, and reaching out to the community association, she thought that was a mechanism that she could use to leverage, get something done about controlling speed as well. And I indicated to her that as much as we don't like speeders in our neighborhood, it's really not much the Eagle Crest Residents Association can do, because we don't control the roadways, that if they're speeders, then she should be talking to the RCMP to get them to ticket the occasional speeder. So just target those that are offending it, the speed limit. So that was part of the conversation. And then beyond that, modifying the road. Again, as residents of the neighborhood, we can certainly speak up like they're doing in Chartwell. But as far as the association goes, that's not their mandate to deal with things like that. So I see in an email that was sent off to Mr. Weir that it looks like it's back in his court, so to speak. And believe me, Bob, that was not the intent of the conversation. I needed her to understand that there is a process and that it has to be monitored and managed, and that it would really, maybe we got to look at the whole neighborhood, not just her street. But I live close to where she lives, and quite frankly, my occasional visits along there, there's no evidence to me. So unless somebody's going to monitor or do a traffic safety check, I really don't know what the issue is. So that's one thing that surfaced lately. The other thing is that with the roundabout, I guess once the Memorial and Highway 19A roundabout's been kind of managed for a year or so, we'll probably get some feedback on whether it's doing its duty. Because again, the Village Way, Highway 19 and Country Club Drive intersection is certainly one that's still on the list of considering for a roundabout. So just something that we'll look at down the road. On a bigger basis, I was reading a couple articles about pedestrians being struck both in Parksville and in Qualicum Beach, in particular along the waterfront, where a cyclist collided with a couple of pedestrians. So I see in the notes here that there was some talk about that. Has anything moved forward? I don't see any information on that.
Not that I'm aware of. Bob, are you?
Yeah, we received video of that, of one of the conflicts that happened in the area we've modified west of Bay Street. I think it's really due to a lack of courtesy on the part of the rider. However, we are going to put up some additional signage in the area that similar to some of the stuff that we put on the multi-use pathways on Memorial Avenue. Expressing the desire that cyclists yield to pedestrians and treat them with courtesy.
Yeah, I did see the video. Yes, Bob, I agree. There was some negligence on somebody's part there, and I don't think it was the pedestrians. So that's good to hear, because if we can't get past an area that's been designated multi-use, that's guarded from big, heavy vehicles, then we're going to find other issues of this sort showing up in other neighborhoods. So good to see some signage, and perhaps we might want to integrate the signage into other subdivisions in some way. Again, talking about Eagle Crest without sidewalks. I'm quite worried about pedestrians being hit.
Yes, thank you, Barry.
You're welcome.
That concludes your report.
That'll do it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jay Norton, one of our favorite directors.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I'm a member of the board of the Chamber, Qualicum Beach Chamber, and I have a very brief report, which is we have nothing to report. Thank you.
Okay. And when I said director, I meant your involvement in the theater scene.
Barred to Broadway, yeah.
You do a good job, Jay.
Thank you.
Michael Garland.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm with Oceanside Community Safety, specifically here representing Speedwatch. To Bill's question, yes, Mariloma Drive, we did have three volunteers out. So Speedwatch is speed education. It's not enforcement. In a two-hour time spot, we had 166 vehicles go by. Only two of them had exceeded the 50-kilometer speed limit. And of those two vehicles, the maximum speed was 53 kilometers an hour. We had a numerous amount of residents come out and said that there was two specific vehicles at specific times that speed by. Address it, that of our realm. To anyone that has any concerns in the community as well, please contact the RCMP if you would like us to come out for education. For those who may have been out around the schools, we have been in contact with School District 69, identified four schools that require monitoring, one being the Arrowsmith Elementary on Bennett Road. And so far, we've had volunteers out every day so far since the beginning of the new school term. So again, that's a brief report. Again, we're here as residents, all volunteers. Look forward to addressing any concerns any of you may have. First thing always, please go through the RCMP, and we'd be happy to do an educational setup in any and all communities in Oceanside.
Thank you very much, Michael, to you and your crew for the work you're doing. Much appreciated. Leonard.
Yeah, good afternoon. From the emergency communications team, we'll be back to our weekly training sessions starting tomorrow, actually. And not much else to report. I don't know whether Rob has anything to add or not, but that's it from here. Over.
Thank you. And then we, the part of the roundtable, Carol, I included you, and you can talk about anything you like, including the cell tower. So go ahead.
Okay. Well, first of all, may I just ask a question as to how many of us are required to have a quorum? Because it seemed to be on and off for the meeting today. Could you tell me that?
Well, I believe we're told by Ms. Swenson that we do have a quorum today. First, we did not, and the meeting was going to be off, and then I was advised that we do have a quorum. So
is it six? No, but is it six or seven? I'd really like to know. And are staff considered, like Mr. Weir, Mr. Marshall, yourself, Rob, are not part of the voting quorum?
No, the staff is not, but I am.
Okay. So, okay, good. Thank you for that. And thank you, Tunis, just to bring the reason I'd like to speak, and particularly our recording secretary have this on as item three, feedback from the QB Council regarding the ombudsman report, the improper public consultation process and the cell tower, Dr. Faulkner. I want to thank you, Tunis, for attempting. I think your vote was to try to give us 10 minutes to speak. It's very difficult, I must say, to cover such a subject in 5 minutes. I was trying to quickly say what I had to say so that there was time for Dr. Faulkner. There's so much. I'm just going to try to just hit just a quick high points. My major concern here is that we have not been considered by the council to be worthy of having a public hearing. And this whole process was rushed through COVID last year to do with this cell tower. And there was an improper public consultation process. It's in the newspaper. It's all over the place that this is what happened. And I'm just going to summarize what happened at the council meeting so that you're aware of my request, because I didn't get a chance to hardly say it at the meeting. And that is the request for a public hearing to be hosted by Qualicum Beach Town, not the biased TELUS SitePath group. There's such a difference in being independent and hearing from the community. And secondly, I talked about the importance of these 10 property owners under the cell tower did not receive proper notification. There's 10 of them, individual letters, and I have sent them to the council. And they are upset. And it is part of what is the legal process of ISED, used to be called Industry Canada, has to do that. And because they haven't done that, and that was required actually by Luke Sales as the approving officer of this whole program. And so I will be in touch with him about that, and also Industry Canada to call them on this whole process of this being violated, because it has not been completed, and therefore we would have to start the public consultation process over again. And I just wanted to say that, because it's really important to know. And the other thing that I took the liberty of sending to some of you was this. This is a very important recent decision that's been made by the FCC, which is similar to our Safety Code 6. And this is a historic decision, just happened in August, where the federal court orders the FCC to explain why it ignored scientific evidence showing harm from wireless radiation. So, I know this is all something that, has controversy, but by the same token, I think we need to hear both sides of what's going on. And I really don't want to be, controlled with a 5-minute conversation. This just did not feel right. And so I needed to be able to express that. And we are a democratic country, and I would like to see that we are able to express ourselves freely. And we care. This is the reason I've spent hours and hours with people, and letters have been and petitions. I mean, if I were to show you here, just to give you an example, this is the number of letters. There's over 400 from the community. These are registered in the correspondence log that are so concerned about the cell tower. And also they've written letters, and this is a whole packet of petitions. And as you can see, the addresses are definitely Qualicum Beach. We were being questioned. We had several letters from Mr. Scott Harrison last night questioning whether these were Qualicum residents. And he has tried to shame our people. It was really bad. And I'm feeling to actually report his conduct, because it's unbecoming a counselor. So in conclusion, I would ask that we think along the lines of making a motion for a public hearing to be held regarding this cell tower, and have it open to our community, because there are so many people that are requesting this.
Okay, well, see if there's a seconder for that request to be forwarded. Doreen seconded. Discussion? All in favor, raise your hand. Opposed? Looks to me there's a tie, so motion fails.
So it is.
But Carol, this is not the group to deal with that. This is a council issue. So you need to address this through council. This committee, yes, there is an aspect of safety, and that's why I allowed it to be discussed. And on the round table, you can discuss virtually anything. So I understand you're taking it from the angle of safety, public health.
Definitely.
And that's fine. But I don't think this committee is really in a position to do anything more than showing support. And we allow you to speak, but it's really an issue that you have to address with council.
Mm-hmm. May I ask what your vote is? Because we were a tie, 3-3, because you have the capacity to vote.
Well, because this is going to council, I don't want to blur the responsibility to a committee and then have to vote at a council meeting again. So I want to abstain here because I'm chairing the meeting. I allowed the debate. I allowed the vote. But I need to vote on this during a council meeting. And I have to have an open mind at the council meeting. So when it comes there, then I will make a decision how we're going to vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So may I just ask you, Chair, how do you think is the best way to proceed with this?
Well, you did well this morning. You got on the agenda. You had Dr. Faulkner on there. Council will discuss this as business arising from the minutes at the next council meeting.
So a discussion is had, but what is the action that would be required in order to bring this forward as a motion for a public hearing?
I don't know. Usually what happens after delegation, we ask staff to come up with a report on for us to consider as part of a result of the delegation. That okay. is respectful. As mayor, I never really liked making a decision right after delegation, but have some time to think about it and get a staff report to mm-hmm. help us along that way.
I totally respect that because this is a huge issue in our community and there is division. I'll be really honest. And I have to just say this so that you know, I have asked people, I've lived in this community 35 years, and I ask people, how do you feel about the cell tower? I don't sway one way or the other. I'm asking how they feel. And you know that most of the people will reply, you know, I don't know much about it, but I'd like to know more about this business of radiation. People just don't know. And I think there really needs to be an education process to 2 years ago, I had no idea of what I have learned in a very concentrated way about the effects of EMF radiation. And as a result, we joined Canadians for Safe Technology that meet weekly. And this is across Canada, everyone from biologists to people who work for Microsoft Canada. And it has been very educational. And I'm just saying, think of asbestos, DDT, cigarette smoking, all those things that seem to be okay, right? And 40 years later, you know, we're finding out the effects. So we just really need to be thinking and keep our eyes and ears open. And somehow, if we can help get an education process going, I think it would be very beneficial to our community.
Thank you. All right. Anything else for the round table? Doreen?
Yes, I just have a few items. Yes. I just have a few items of concerns from our members in our residents association. One is from one of our members that's concerned about ladder fuel, Susan Porter. She noticed that there was lack of maintenance and cutting by the town on various grass verges around the town. And as we're blessed
with ladder fuel?
Yes. Yes, she was concerned. There's a lane allowance behind her home and the grass was not cut. And with the fire hazard, she was really worried about that. There wasn't any maintenance.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
Yeah. So there's ladder fuel under there. And then she wonders if the town could prioritize its grass cutting and like we should have plans for the future of our, you know, of the next year for the dry seasons ahead. She just wondered if the town could pay more attention.
Well, I think they do. One of the reasons why when the grass is so dry and it's obviously not growing much, but there's also rocks and gravel, and by cutting it with steel blades and sparks could actually start a fire. So there's always been a great concern about cutting grass when it's really dry, and concerned that it could actually create a fire because of sparks. So, Mr. Weir, I don't know if you can add anything to that.
Yeah.
Cut it before it's dry.
No, I think you captured that succinctly. I think it's they're guided by the fire department and what they see the rating, and we have to modify our maintenance appropriately.
Thank you.
Maybe we could just start earlier next year, get it down before it gets too hot. Might be good. Another concern was from one of our members about the town repaving the Eagle Crest entrance. And as part of the repaving, they paved a separate area around the curve in the road. It was a good idea and much needed for pedestrian safety. Unfortunately, the project falls short in execution. This new walkway is separated by an asphalt curve of minimal height and a patch of fine gravel. It looks unfinished and would be of little or no benefit to protecting anyone on the walkway. This member was suggesting, could we install river rock on this gravel placed in concrete? And the town has done this before for barriers, as, for example, the upper roundabout.
Mr. Weir.
Well, we don't have plans to do that. You know, we committed to the Eagle Crest Residents Association to try and provide a separated pathway after we did the repaving for the water main work. I think it's been brought up before that because Eagle Crest was initially developed as an open ditch subdivision outside of town back in the day, the road standards are somewhat deficient, and they don't provide a lot of opportunity for safe pedestrian access. So we can look at that section of improvement near the entrance and consider whether that will be longer term a better maintenance decision. So we'll take that under advisement.
All right, thank you very much. And sorry, there's just a few more, Tunis. There was a letter sent to the town on February 19th, 2021 that didn't get any response from the town. It was related to the trails and safety concerns on the Arbutus and Koi Lake and Mill and Beach. And it was a letter from Lynn Flint, and he didn't get a response. And he put a diagram in with quite a few suggestions. And we were just wondering if that could be followed up for safety.
You know, I have to admit, I don't remember that letter. I live, obviously, right off Arbutus somewhere there by the Willow Road, but I don't remember the letter about trail safety concern. Could I impose on you to ask him to send it to me, and then we'll have another look at it, and I won't wait for the next safety meeting. I'll bring it up at a council meeting.
All right. Thank you very much, Tunis. And I can send it to you February 19th.
Thank you.
And then also regarding from one of our board members did quite a good suggestion regarding safety on the waterfront, since that bicycle safety and pedestrian safety. And he advised, like which Bob Weir suggested, that more signs would be posted for biking behavior. But he also suggested an idea of separated colored bike lanes with a speed limit and room to go both ways. And it would slow biking down, but we'd have to push the town to rework the road to favor people in the cars. So we'd have to squeeze the car lanes away from the beach side. I know, I think you're thinking of filling in the ditch there that would give more room, and maybe put a speed limit of 30K along there to St. Andrews. And the town needs to start thinking of the beach as people enjoyment, not a highway anymore. And but there's a good article, a good link that in the Netherlands, how they've managed to do that. It was quite an interesting article. I could send that to you. And I'm almost finished. One last thing was I did get a comment from Merloma about the speeding that we've already talked about, that Michael talked about. So I'll definitely tell the people I know that live on Merloma to write the time, the license plates, and to phone the RCMP. So that's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anything else for the good of the town?
I just want to ask, Mr. Chair, that the comments that I made, I'd like to make sure that they are typed into the minutes. And I did ask for this to be a third item on the agenda. You put it into the round table, but I really wanted to stand out the feedback about Qualicum Beach Council Ombudsperson and Dr. Faulkner, please.
Okay, I had it put on the round table as a special notation. Staff, do not record what people are saying verbally, but they only record minutes, meaning the motions and recommendations and so on. So there won't be any verbatim report on what you said. If you wanted to send a letter to council with what you said, that might be more effective.
Okay, I'd be happy to just do a summary. And I will be happy to do that. Thank you.
You're welcome. So anything else, ladies and gentlemen? Then I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Barry Blake.
From Barry and Jay, we are adjourned. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon.